I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 105, discussing Agent Carter Season 2, Episode 4, Smoke and Mirrors, and Jessica Jones Season 1, Episode 4, aka 99 Friends. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil and Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of koalas with vile temperaments.
Because of the koalas that took Haley away, if you would like to talk to us about kidnapping koalas, you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com. Our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1, that's 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. We have a Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you can find us at our forums at forums.gunnageek.com or search Gunna Geek on the Tapatalk app.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about our Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel Collector Core crate giveaway, and it's going to be good, so stay tuned for that. Just a couple of minutes on that one. We're going to be talking about Agent Carter, Smoke and Mirrors. We're going to be talking about Jessica Jones, aka 99 Friends. We're going to be talking about the weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and highlights from the live Blab chat room. All right, Haley, we've had this Marvel crate to give away. You've had yours for a while. I finally got the one from the anonymous donor in. And what did we ask people to do last week?
Well, we're fascinated by Howard Stark's menagerie of animals he's got going in the mansion. So we wondered what other animals might he be asking Jarvis to bring into the house? And we need you, loyal listener, to tell us about that animal. We need the animal's name, the animal species, and a little bit of a backstory. And if you can get that animal to start a Twitter war with Bernard Stark on Twitter, that's all the better.
And guess what? Lauren, what has happened in the past week?
Well,
somebody delivered.
Yeah, somebody delivered big time. And it was amazing.
Yes.
So we've had, and let me pull it up so I don't get it wrong, just because.
Squirrel.
Okay. We have Edward the Monkey at Edward Stark, SM, Edward the Spider Monkey, as started by at Adonna Girl, Christy. And the Spider Monkey has started a Twitter war with Bernard Stark. It's pretty great.
So I think all the boxes have been checked here. So we're going to still keep this contest going until the February 24th. We want to see what kind of Twitter continuation discussion war goes on between now and then. And if you want to create your own Stark animal, Stark menagerie animal, and put it
Starkimal
and have a Twitter account and join the conversation, we would love to see that as well. But I would have to say that Christy is firmly in first place right now to get this Marvel crate giveaway from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I think somebody had Jeffrey the Goat. Who was it? But apparently Jeffrey Stark is taken. I think it was Born to Eat Bacon?
I think it was Born to Eat Bacon, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeffrey Stark, Born to Eat Bacon.
Right. So thank you very much. Our listeners are great. and they're delivering in droves right now. Thank you very much for doing that. All right. So we had an episode last night of Agent Carter, and it was smoke and mirrors, and I'm just loving Marvel. They are delivering on all cylinders. This is just fun in January to be had with Agent Carter. Lauren, what was your favorite part?
Okay, so it's kind of an extended favorite part, but all the parallels between, all the flashbacks between young Whitney, Agnes Cully, and young Peggy as they're growing up and everything like that. I just loved it. I loved everything about it. I just, all the depth that the writers gave them, the contrast and everything, all the similarities, all the differences. And they're doing such a good job with these characters. I love it.
They are indeed doing a great job with all these characters. And I just love the fun that they're having and the flashbacks. They were done so well. I mean, we don't always see flashbacks in Marvel stuff. It's not like Arrow, where there's a flashback in almost every episode. You got to go back that 5 years, right? It's not like that. But in this one, you really got both the origins of Peggy Carter and Frost, aka Madam Mask, and you really understand where she is. And then I felt sorry for Whitney Frost. I really did. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you had to grow up this way. But I think in life, there is a line between you just don't know any better and then you just turn so deliciously evil. And that's what we also saw in this episode, right, Haley?
Yeah. And I like that she's brought up her whole life. The only thing you will ever be valued for is your appearance. And all of these men all along the way, oh, you should smile, you'll look so much prettier. And then at the end, she's got these powers of death and destruction that are horribly disfiguring her, and she's delighted.
She does. She embraces the whole thing. It's great. And she, oh, honey, I have something to show you.
Oh, man. It's like, yeah, you feel sorry for her because seriously, that's a terrible way to grow up, all this stuff that she's internalizing. And honestly, Peggy's internalizing the same stuff. Both of them, from the time they're little, they both dream of so much more. Little Agnes Whitney wants to grow up and get out of this little town and be valued for her intelligence. And little Peggy wants to grow up and be valued for her strength. And they're both told, no, this isn't, you can't do this. You cannot do this because you're female. And with Peggy, whereas somebody believed in her, Agnes Whitney, she got nothing.
Nada. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Hey, let's back up a second, right? So the director of Smoke and Mirrors was the same as last week, David Platt. And as we discussed last week, he has a history to him. Actually, Lauren, I don't think you got to chime in on this because I think we did it after you left, right? So The Blacklist, you've got...
Oh, I'm looking at his credits now.
Yeah. And what's...
Yeah, he did...
What's catching you? What's catching your eye?
Okay, let's see. Blacklist, SVU, Law and Order. He's not a lot of Law and Order.
Mm-hmm. A lot of procedurals, so...
Yeah.
As we've been discussing on Arrow, on Starling Tribune, on Arrow lately, with so much comic book TV out there, cover's a little bare when it comes to experienced directors and writers and stuff like that. They are developing the next generation of people to do this sort of stuff. And I think they're doing a great job because these guys are getting it and they're getting into it. And it is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the generation of directors and writers that are coming into this, that they're bringing into this. Yeah, they're bringing in people with experience. Like this guy, he's done like 54 episodes of Law and Order and like 24 episodes of SVU, something like that. And then he has this, you know, long history. But at the same time, you know, he's been able to bring that experience into this type of show. And then with the writers and stuff like that, yeah, you have all these people who are able to, you know, maybe they haven't written a superhero type show before, but they're able to bring their experience from these other shows that they've worked on, whether it's procedurals or whether it's dramas or whether it's comedies, and bring their strengths from that into these shows. So you aren't just getting straight up, yay, superheroes. You're getting this nuance and these different ways of looking at this universe. And I think that's something that we as an audience are all benefiting from.
Right. So the writer for this particular episode is Sue Chung. It is her first writing credit with Agent Carter, but she has been an executive story editor for all of season two. So she's in the mix. She's doing it and she's got the feel to it. So I think this, especially with the flashbacks and the backstory, this was just such a great episode. I love this sort of stuff, the expanded universe, getting to know the characters a little bit better and that sort of thing. So this episode just was probably is my favorite Agent Carter episode so far. I'm liking it. Haley?
I could understand why it would be. Probably some of the stuff in season one between Dottie and Peggy would win this out just a little bit. I'm really looking forward to Dottie coming back this season.
Yeah, I miss Dottie.
Good stuff.
And Angie?
Yes. Speaking of which, is it just me, or does Peggy have chemistry with absolutely everybody she interacts with on the show?
Yes.
It doesn't even matter if it's a villain. She knows how to work them.
No, it's just Peggy and everybody. It's just amazing.
It is.
Like, her and Jarvis is great. Her and Howard is great. They have this just awesome electricity bouncing off of each other. Her and Wilkes is just great. Her and Sousa is fantastic. Her and Dottie.
When she dropped her food through Wilkes.
That was hilarious. So her mom's like, no, you need to be more ladylike in the flashback. And then she immediately drops food through Ghost Wilkes in the present. And she's like, oh, sorry.
She didn't quite just, and maybe it's a rapport that needs to develop. She didn't quite deal with Red Foreman all that great.
Well, no, but that's because he's, you know, a jackhole.
A dillweed.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh man.
And playing the commie card again. Come on, dude. Just because your name's Red.
Well, and considering the times, like, again, I was, so I spent most of my day cleaning up in my bedroom because it looks like a tornado has gone through because there's comics everywhere. Like, the entire side of my bed is nothing but piles of comic books. But anyway, I was going through there and I was listening to podcasts and stuff like that. And one of the ones that I was catching up on is the most recent season of You Must Remember This, which is about old school Hollywood. The most recent season is about basically what this season of Agent Carter is about, which is the start of the Hollywood blacklist and the communist like witch hunts and stuff. And I really recommend that if you want just like a crash course in this period in history in terms of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Like the Elizabeth Short thing that I talked about a couple episodes was brought up as kind of being a major thing that sort of changed the attitude of Hollywood. The shift in studio politics between the times of like World War II and just after World War II is brought up. So you have this severely anti-fascist perspective going on, like during World War II, when you have the whole, you know, I've punched Hitler 100 times. And then you compare that to the whole, if you're this staunchly anti-fascist, you must be a communist.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that went on just immediately after. It's incredibly interesting, and I really love that they're touching on that in the show.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of great stuff. Another Hedy Lamarr name check.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. Again, I'm wondering now if they're going to do something to sneak Hedy Lamarr into every episode, and I'm kind of hoping that they do.
I'm thinking we're at that point because it's been every episode so far.
It's seriously, if it hasn't been a name check, it's been a reference.
Right.
And I'm loving it.
Right. So Hedy Lamarr. So we've got the American accent, and we've got, of course, Peggy punching somebody every episode. You know, they've checked several boxes every episode, so it's great. Yeah.
We have enough to start a drinking game for this season.
Absolutely. Yeah. Except for I'm not going to do it. No. I don't want to go to the hospital.
Yeah, you can figure out your own sort of alternate.
It's going to have to be Pepsi Max. It's the way it is. I did, you know, full disclosure, I did try a little bit of a certain alcohol last weekend, and it didn't go well at all. I'm at full stop. I'm not going to try anything anymore, which is very unfortunate, because I would have loved to participate in a drinking game about Agent Carter.
You know, some things are worth dying for.
Exactly. It is
reminds
so
me of that.
Jarvelous. It would be so jarvelous.
Oh my god, you guys, Jarvis tranquilized was amazing, and I need somebody to screen cap him like all on the on that the driver's side window. Just I need that. Just seriously, how much fun do you think James Darcy has playing Jarvis? Because it seems to be like he's having just like a buttload of fun. It's amazing. He gets to, you know, between him pretending to be a cop, and he just seems to be having fun. And that's what I love, that everybody on this show seems like they're having a blast.
He gets a lot of scenes with Haley Atwell. He's got a wonderful wife. And he's got...
who we need to see again.
I know. Yes. Where's Anna? She left us two episodes ago. I want Anna back.
She's chasing around Bernard.
Well, clearly. We're going to get back and she's going to have like fried him. This can be Bernard stew. She's going to have herself a nice pink boa.
I don't even know if that's legal in California, but
I bet it was in the 40s.
Yeah, a lot of things were. Yep.
Now I'm looking up, is it legal to eat a flamingo?
Interesting.
I bet they're gamey.
Probably.
They look like tough birds.
Can we eat meat a flamingo bird is on Yahoo.
Yeah. Yes, can we?
Wouldn't be too bad if it's cooked and prepared, right? It might taste a little of shrimpiness.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is true. Roasted flamingo tongue was a prized delicacy in ancient Rome.
Interesting. I haven't run into that in Spartacus yet, so that is the extent of my Roman knowledge currently.
Oh, the best thing you learn about Roman culture from Spartacus is the communal poo wipe and stick.
The poo sticks, which they were selling for like $30 in the after show auction. And I really wanted to get one just to like hang up in my living room and be like, this is a poop stick.
So the Defiance after show auction is going on right now. And I've put a couple of bids in and I've been like extremely overbid. I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know, I did a podcast on Defiance called Voices of Defiance with Sean and Shannon, and we spoke to a lot of the actors on the show, the showrunner for the show. Do I have anything to show for it? No, I have to pay for it.
You have the memories.
Yeah, I do. I do. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And another thing that's a lot of fun is, let's think about this for a second. The Arena Club taped meetings. Hunt didn't have time to tell them everything that he knew. So do these tapes still exist?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, but Red Foreman, if he's working for them, tipped them off.
But maybe they're keeping them for a reason. Like they need these records for something.
Like Nixon?
Otherwise, why would you record them?
Yeah, maybe. They mentioned him. They name checked him. I can't think that we're not going to hear them, but they do that all the time. It's a comic book show. So when we were seeing all these England flashbacks and Michael Carter, RIP Michael Carter, because that was just horrible, the way that went down.
Completely predictable.
I was like, I knew it was coming and still.
Right. Yeah, you knew it. So I was getting this and her entrance into the SOE, which whatever that is, that was new for me. And I couldn't help but thinking, she did time like a year later in New York. So, and they told us that they were going to explore that at some point in time. So I'm wondering if we're going to get that this season or not.
I don't know. It might be kind of their, you guys are totally going to give us a third season thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all for a third season.
Yeah. Give us a third season. Come on.
Right.
Oh, speaking of the flashbacks, fun fact, little Peggy was... the actress who plays her is from San Antonio.
Yeah.
Texas.
I saw a tweet of her or a Facebook post of her or whatever. She's had both her arms in the air. She's like, yeah, I'm on Agent Carter.
Texas represent.
She did a good job with the accent then.
She really did. Yes.
Right. All right. Whitney's powers. She's figuring out how to use it.
RIP baby ratties.
I know. She's now an asset, though. She can actually control it. She knows how to use it. She knows when not to use it. And she's going to help her husband. I'm wondering when he's going to get absorbed personally, but what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he's too long for the world, especially once she decides she doesn't need him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
when she goes full-blown supervillain.
Yeah, when she goes full-blown supervillain.
I think she went full-blown supervillain when she said, what did you tell her? I was like, ooh, we have full transformation right now.
Yeah, that was definitely not good.
But that guy was a pretty bad guy anyways.
That guy, yeah, he was a bad guy anyway. So, I mean, no, she probably shouldn't have done that.
So, what are the odds that she seduces Howard Stark in the near future?
Very likely, considering she's Madame Mask.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be looking for his next star, and she'd be right there, and...
Well, he knows at this point, like, who she is and what she's up to, because he's on the team. But I still think he's like, I can arrest her after.
Yeah, and let's face it, his junk is his weak point. And...
It's junk.
His naughty bits.
Well...
Kids these days.
I can't say what I wanted to say.
I know.
But...
My mind went to the Big Bang Theory episode that junk was mentioned by Sheldon. If you haven't seen that, it's great. It is actually the Star Wars episode, if you haven't seen
it. Oh, okay. Ooh, it's a good one.
It is a very good one.
Something else happens in that episode, too, that's a fairly major plot development.
And they were intertwined so well. It was so fun.
But yeah, I'm betting that he's going to be like, oh, I could totally bring her in or distract her or something. And Peggy's going to have to end up rescuing him because
he's the damsel in distress of this show.
Yes.
Okay, so what'd you guys think of Fred? He's no Steve Rogers, but what'd you think
of him? He's a tool. That's what I think of him.
He is very much a tool.
And even Michael was like, dude, why?
Yeah, he was like, why are you marrying this guy to Peggy? Because why was she marrying this guy? She could do a billion times better.
She did.
She did.
He was probably like the only guy left in... wherever she was living, because all the good ones were off in the war front.
Yeah,
because their war started way before ours.
Yeah, they were in like 1939, and we weren't in until like very end of 1941.
Yeah, December 7th, 1941 was when Pearl Harbor was attacked, but we didn't become active at all
until
in
42.
Europe until and even then it was mostly Africa.
Yeah.
So Haley, you have a note here, Hollywood 10.
Oh yeah, that's about the communism and stuff. When Red Foreman was trying to intimidate Peggy into spilling her guts, and she was like, nah.
So, predictions. Lauren, the floor is open.
Okay. Red Foreman is evil. I think we all knew that.
Duh.
Yeah, Madame Mask and Howard are going to do the nasty, or at least attempt to.
Are they going to save Wilkes, or is he going to die a heroic death?
Oh, I want them to save him. But part of me thinks that just looking at the nature of how TV works, I feel like he's probably going to have to die a heroic death.
Her husband, it was an agent, right?
Her husband, okay, we know her husband fought in Europe in World War II.
Yes.
He was rescued by Captain America.
And we know that Sousa was in France.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, I can't remember.
Thompson.
Yeah, we know Thompson was in the Pacific.
Okay, that's right.
But we don't know where Wilkes was.
A Donna girl in the chat said Belgium. So are you...
I think that was Sousa,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was just clarifying that. Are you talking about Sousa or Thompson there, a Donna girl? Okay, so there's a possibility that Sousa's still in the mix. I still think Violet's a plant. And matter of fact, we haven't talked about it, but this whole... talent agency that they got going on, that's a perfect front to infiltrate from the bad side. Once they figure out that's where their headquarters is, it's perfect to come in and swamp that front room with people looking to audition and that sort of thing. So I think that's going to happen as well somewhere along.
Except they turn everybody away.
Well, but I think that it's going to be attacked, basically. And things aren't going to go well for the SSR at that point in time. A Donna girl in the chat came back and said, yes, she was talking about Sousa and Belgium with the siege. So
for some reason, I thought it was France, but okay, Belgium.
All right. So do you think Bernard, and I'll say it right this time, do you think Bernard Stark is going to reveal his evilness?
Clearly. Oh my God. What if he ends up taking out some of the evil bad guys?
Oh,
what if he ends up using his evil for good?
So, yeah, the mansion will get attacked, and Jarvis will release the animals.
Yes, with the angry drop bear koala and evil pink flamingo.
And the squirrel monkey of doom.
The squirrel monkey of doom. Angry goat.
We're going to see Action Anna. at some point in time.
Yes. Oh my God, I hope so.
If she doesn't hit somebody with a frying pan, I have lost all faith in this show.
If she doesn't shoot someone, I'm going to have lost all faith in the show.
She's her husband's sparring partner. I mean, she's got some moves. We just haven't seen them yet.
That's not what sparring partner means.
Oh, I see. It's a kid-friendly show, and they just threw some stuff in there for the adults, huh? I gotcha. All right. Any other predictions? Anything else on the episode?
The senator is going to die.
Yes.
That's a foregone conclusion. Are we going to see the full Secret Empire?
Yes. I think they're the villain of the season.
Yeah.
And the season will end with Peggy taking them down.
I think Whitney's going to absorb like half of them.
Do you think we're going to see Bletchley Park again?
Probably not.
That was a one and done.
I think so. But I was glad we got to see it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. All right. So I guess that's it for this week with Agent Carter. We will be back next week. There is an episode next week, right? I haven't looked that far ahead in the schedule. Okay.
Yes. So I think so.
There's an episode 5 next week. We're going to get that. Is this a 10 episode season?
Yes.
Okay. So that will be the halfway mark. And we will strive and go on forth from there. And just remember, we're part of the Gonna Geek Network. If you like this sort of discussion, there's a lot of other shows out there. And one in particular that I'm going to talk about is Nerd Alert News. The last one out as of the recording of this podcast was Nerd Alert News number 20. And Chris does a lot of great work bringing the nerdy, geeky news to you so you don't have to search for it in your vast amounts of Facebook feeds or Twitter feeds or whatever. So it's a quick 20-minute show or so, kind of like our long box edition. So just go and check that out. All right, we're going to move on to some Jessica Jones. All right, so Jessica Jones was out on Netflix quite a bit ago, back in November. We had to wait till now to start going through the episodes. We are in episode 4 now, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Episode 4, 99
Friends,
which... It took me a while to actually understand that reference because I thought it was like 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
See, I thought it was like 99 problems, but, ain't one. But that was not it.
When they first revealed the episode names, I thought it was going to be 99 bottles of beer on the wall, too.
Okay, so I'm the only one who was 99 problems?
Yes.
Okay.
Just you.
Okay.
It's your Texasness and your country music's.
That's not country music.
Okay.
If you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but ain't one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
He's not up with the rap's music either.
No. Okay, apparently not.
The hip-hop, the rap, it's not my generation. I'm old. Okay, so Jessica Jones we're talking 99 Friends. She starts off freaked out. She is being stalked and she is a private eye. This is what she does. And she hasn't noticed somebody stalking her. And so she's freaked.
Well, wouldn't you be? I mean, you walk into somebody's house and not only is there a giant freaky wall of pictures of you just in random places, but then there's a giant photo montage of you taking up the entirety of a wall. And it's like, oh, it's like this. Yeah, no.
So if that happened to me, I'd probably congratulate the person in finding the true value in Stargate Pioneer.
I would just go live in a hole and never come out because that's horrifying.
For those of you that don't know, if you've never worked in special operations and spycraft or that sort of thing, generally, if you're a detective, if you're a private investigator or something like that, or if you work for the FBI, the CIA or special ops, they do train you in counter surveillance techniques and you are taught to use them on the job the whole time. So I don't know if she's been trained or not, or she just got her license or whatever, but if that was me and that happened to me on the job, I would definitely be all sorts of freaked out. And she handled it very well for being freaked out. And she went through it methodically. She figured out a way to find out who it was. And then when she found out who it was very devastating.
Yeah, she utilized her resources. She did the whole, when I was watching it, she's taking the pictures and she was matching them up to places. And if you've ever seen those pictures that people like to post online of like printing out screenshots of Harry Potter and holding them up to like spots and places in the UK and like, oh, this is platform 9 3/4. And if you hold this up, it's cute. But this was like horrifying because she's trying to figure out where this person would have been standing when they took this picture of her. And then, yeah, she ends up utilizing her resources to get through the use of the close surveillance cameras, close circuit surveillance
CCT,
cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Find whoever would have been in all these pictures, taking pictures of her. And her resources, of course, being
the douchey
horrible
cop.
Person that I hate, Simpson.
Well, I mean, at least he wants to help. You got to hand it to him this way, is that he was taken advantage of himself and he is trying to make things better. Now, there's all sorts of skeeviness aside from that, but everybody that's been a part of this, they want to get their lives back. They want to help out. The support group was there for a reason. And I think that Trish and Jessica and Simpson, is that his name? The cop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will Simpson.
Will Simpson. Okay. So I think they were just using their own internal support group, but it's not necessarily the one that I would want to be a part of because they go off in different things. But Jessica's pretty firm. I got this. I don't want a bunch of cops around because they're just going to be used. And spoilers, we kind of see something like that later happening. But she's got it handled, at least for now. She knows that she is the only one that has the thought process to go forward because nobody else would believe. I mean, even if it's out there that people are starting to get used like this, I mean, nobody's going to believe it to want to capture this guy. They want to see, oh, is this real or not? And they would just be taking advantage of themselves.
It's like that whole, there's an example I'm thinking of. It's like whenever you hear about a stupid internet thing and you're like, don't do this. What's people's first instinct? Oh, let me try this. Or, just like any of those, like, well, I say stupid internet things mostly because I always see videos of stuff like this on YouTube of people saying, don't try this at home. Immediately try this at home. And they videotape themselves doing it. And that's why I would say stupid internet thing, because I spend a lot of time watching people doing stupid things on the internet so I can mock them.
Right. Right. I saw a stupid video of a guy in a swimming pool with a gun pointed at him and shooting because he wanted to prove that you couldn't, the bullet wouldn't go far in water, which is all true, but still, dude, come on.
That doesn't make it a good idea.
No.
That's a terrible idea.
It is. It's a very terrible idea. Do not do that. If you're listening to this, Stargate Pioneer, who is a rocket scientist, does not in any way condone doing that, but it's just stupid. It's like Darwinism at work, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's...
It's stuff like that that you're talking about. People do stupid crap.
But yeah, if people do stupid stuff like that, you say, hey, there's this guy that mind controls people. Don't go find him. And people go, I'm gonna go find him.
I know. We gotta see how this works. Watch this.
I bet he can't mind control me.
I'm super strong. Can't mind control me.
Yeah, it's... you know how people are. It wouldn't work, and it would be horrible. And then... like, we would just have an army of mind control people just everywhere. Okay, just thinking about it is actually getting me angry, and it's not real.
Okay, so Trish semi-redeemed herself in this episode for a couple of reasons. First of all, the door stood up to a battering ram, an extensive use
dude,
of
she's a little paranoid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the mechanical sounds, like the hydraulics or the air brakes or whatever, as they're opening. We're not talking about Star Trek-ish stuff. We're talking about like massive safe armored doors. And
yeah, like the kind you'd find at a bank.
Right. And she goes and runs to her safe room and she only comes out to let Jessica in, who jumped from somewhere. I don't know where she... I probably wasn't like ground level.
Like the back?
Right, but she had to jump all the way up, so I don't know if she jumped up like levels at a time or if it was like...
No, I think she could jump all the way up.
Okay.
No, remember, because it's mistaken for flying.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so there you go. We didn't see it, but we saw her come up the back.
Yeah, I was noticing, okay, you see it a lot this episode of just the hints at her jump powers. Flying.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they saved so much money with this show in terms of superpowers, because all you got to see is her going, and then her going, which, because it's sound effects, just jump up,
yeah,
jump down.
She seemed to have a little trouble jumping up on top of the dumpster, and that wasn't all that far of a jump, but she did it. I couldn't jump on top of a dumpster like that.
I can't.
I bet you Haley can.
I can't jump on top of a couch.
So. Yeah, I jump like super high. Yeah. No, I'm short, I'm slow, I can't jump very high.
Watch this, huh? So anyway, she does all that and she accepts the gift, which is an illegal weapon, who I don't know where it really
Trish,
came
Trish
from.
Trish accepts the gift, we should say. Okay, so
dude, of course
what
a cop
figure,
has a drop gun. Come on.
Yeah, what I figure is he probably just took it from like evidence.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like a little bit of Fast and Furious stuff going on here, which is the guns running thing here in the Southwest as opposed to the Vin Diesel movies.
There are ways to erase the serial numbers and stuff like that. I'm not going to go into that. But if the gun has had a ballistic test, you're still going to be tracked back to that at some point in time. And nowadays, most guns that are sold in the United States, sorry, people, they get ballistically tested before they go out the door. Just saying. Okay.
So think of that before you commit a crime with a gun.
That mm-hmm. is correct. So she's got the gun on the table and they don't show it, but I had the distinct feeling that they were playing footsie under the table.
See, when they were doing that, I thought she was pointing the gun at him to feel better.
Well, at any point in time, she could have shot and killed him. And I think he would have been fine with that.
Well, yeah, you can tell he feels bad for, you know, almost killing her.
And then the red marks, I mean, oh, come yeah, on, you open the door with that big fluffy scarf around her neck. Of course she's had massive hickeys or neck trauma or something.
Yeah, I typically, yes. I mean, part of me is like, well, you know, I wander around my house sometimes like bundled up because like I'm always cold.
Yes.
And I live in Texas where it is not cold. So if I lived in New York, I would just be a marshmallow for like half the year. But typically, if you walk over, you open a door, somebody's just like wearing a huge scarf like to their chin. It's pretty suspicious.
Right. But she's living on the edge. I don't understand why she's letting him do that. I guess they're connecting because he's talking to her through the door. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably it. It's I don't know. I don't like him. I'm sure the actor is a very nice guy. But I don't like the character. And I know that it's all foreknowledge of what happens. I mean, when I first watched this, I felt bad for him. I really did. Because, yeah, he, you know, Kilgrave screwed with him. But
then you learn more about him and you're
then
like...
Then you learn more about him and I just got really angry.
He's not quite a stand-up dude. Like, no. He's trying to make himself out to be.
I just got really angry every time I see him now.
So something that I missed the first watch through is Trish and Jessica are walking down the street, right? And they're talking about her acting award.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, well, I probably got it because mom blew half the jersey to get the award. I was like, yeah. I didn't catch that the first time around. This time I'm like, oh, yeah. I see. And that actually, we haven't really met mom Trish yet, but.
But we've heard stories. And once you meet her, you're like, I fully believe that. Because
that's something that probably actually
this
happened.
This lady is ruthless. This lady. Yeah, stage mom all the way, and yeah.
And at this point, you think Trish just doesn't like her because she was a stage mom, probably overbearing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and then you actually see later on, and you're like, oh no, this is bad. But it's one of those things where the more you find out about it, the worse it is.
Yeah.
And then watching it in retrospect, like with foreknowledge of what happens, and hearing the stories again, and you're like, oh no, because... It doesn't feel so much like exaggeration now.
And seeing what Trish is learning to fight and stuff, and it makes sense why she would be learning.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things she says about why she's learning to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
I get it now, yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing that we see in the episode as well is that Jerry and her ex and her, I don't know, secretary, paralegal, girlfriend, soon to be fiance or whatever, we see that relationship start to take hold. We see a lot more of it in this one than we had seen in the past. And
yeah,
really see what a, I don't even know what to call it, Jerry is. She's not a good person.
No, she's terrible. She's absolutely terrible. And the whole bringing her to the restaurant where she proposed and
recycling her romance.
That's low.
She does not get to have this restaurant. Yes.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she does. She gets this one.
Yeah, that was low. Just,
And the little, okay, so Kilgrave is not absent in this episode at all. He sends a little girl to deliver a message.
Oh, that was horrifying. That was awful.
It was okay right up to this point where she starts going off on what a bee she is and everything. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is coming out of a little girl's mouth.
Well, I cussed like that when I was a kid, too. But just the fact that he got to this little girl and got into her mind, that's horrifying.
And this little girl's going to remember that for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, just like somebody grabbing her and being like, what did he say? Like right up in her face.
Yeah. And then the mom comes by later and is like, eh. What are you doing to my girl?
Yeah, it's a bad situation all around.
She should have just said, I'm going to use my laser eyes on you. Laser eyes?
Oh, man.
Laser eyes?
Yeah, but she would have just thought she was a crazy person.
I'd forgotten about the whole laser eyes as it came back into the series. I didn't remember where it fell. And when I heard that, I was like, that's...
Oh, yeah.
How many of you people are here? What, you mean private detectives?
Seriously, I love that that's what she goes to first, because she's just like, this is what I am, and oh yeah, I can do this stuff too. Whatever.
How many of us are there? I have 99. I don't know why she picked 99. I have 99.
I don't know, because it's a big, scary number, and it's not too big, and it's not too small.
It's just right.
Yes. 99 friends, and if you're not gone by morning, they're all gonna come after you. I want a divorce.
Okay, so this lady with her whole anti people with powers thing.
Also the mentally challenged.
Yeah, just, oh man, like, I know that the way it's the kick the dog moment in script writing. You show how bad somebody is by making them do or say something horrible. And that's hers, you know, using that term. But she was terrible. And she wasn't that smart either. Because calling her at the... First of all, going to a private detective with this, okay? She's going to find out. Second of all, calling her at the exact second that she's supposed to be watching this guy. Very suspicious. And also, if she's doing her job, she can hear you. Just, again, not smart.
If all you wanted to do was kill her, why not just shoot her in her office? I mean, you've seen the place she lives in. You could always just be like, oh, she lives in a bad neighborhood. One of her sketchy neighbors shot her.
Well, because somebody could have seen her as she exited the scene. I could see wanting to take her into another location. I can see that. But again, I think she... would use a silencer because she's not going to have a big stereo at either Jessica's place or this other place.
I don't know. It just, the whole plan seems poorly thought out.
I will say it seems kind of perfect for the kind of person that she is, where she thinks she's smarter than she is. Yeah. And maybe she watched a lot of crime shows and was like, okay, well, because she had the plastic and she had the gun and she had this plot. But it was a really half-assed plot the whole way around.
It was.
And especially for somebody with superpowers. Come on!
Even in her bar shooting range, right? The stereo is not going to cover gunshots. I'm sorry. If it's not silence, you're going to hear the gunshot.
Also, are mannequins really going to stop the bullets from going through the wall behind them?
It might have been a concrete wall behind. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. You never know.
Yeah. Again, this lady doesn't seem like the kind of person who would care about that.
Is she bulletproof? Nope, she isn't. Which is, I guess, important for us to learn that she is not bulletproof. But I actually thought she got shot in the upper shoulder. And it wasn't until later in the shower that we see it was a grazing wound on her
arm. It looked like a graze to me. So
there was blood splatter.
There was blood splatter. It looked painful.
I don't know if it was CGI or practical effect, but there was blood splatter. All right. The whole Kilgrave support group started.
Yeah, the Kilgrave support group started.
And Jessica used it specifically to find out what happened with Kilgrave instead
she's
of...
Like, I don't need it. I don't need it. She probably does. She will never, ever, ever admit it, Malcolm.
And then Simpson joins the team.
Yeah.
Jessica starts using him as an asset.
Yeah. Somebody give Malcolm all the hugs, please.
Poor guy.
I know.
I know.
We get more into that next week, but just somebody give him all the hugs.
He needs some help.
Yeah.
Does need some help. Okay.
Ika Darvill did such a good job. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so next week we're going to deal with season one. There are two seasons of Jessica Jones. The second season isn't out yet, but season one, episode five. And if you have anything to say about that, or Agent Carter, season two, episode 4 or 5, go ahead, give us a call at our voicemail line.
844-THE-BUS-1.
That's 1-844-THE-BUS-1.
844-843-2871.
All right, let's get on to some news. All right, we have a bunch of news as we do every week. We run down the important things that happen in Marvel news. There's no way that we can cover absolutely everything. It's just not possible anymore for anyone because there's just so much Marvel goodness out there.
Actually, there is not a lot of news right now. There's a lot of Deadpool trailers and clips and ads and stuff, but...
A lot of Deadpool advocating screening for cancer, so...
Yep.
Yeah, so the Deadpool marketing team is outstanding. I don't know who's on that team, but whoever is...
A bunch of wizards.
Thumbs up.
You guys are doing a great job. All right, so there is a video YouTube clip about Agent Carter, the science of intangibility.
Yeah, it's got the actor who plays Wilkes and the science advisor from the TV show explaining exactly why Wilkes is intangible. So everybody should go check that out because, you know, science.
Science, babies.
Yay!
Okay, now moving on into the Netflix realm because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in Netflix.
Yes!
They got a few things happening.
Unless you want to watch Doctor Who and you're in the United States. So, Scott Reynolds... might be writing for Iron Fist.
Right. So there's a lot of this. None of this stuff about Iron Fist that we're about to talk about is really concrete right now. It's more rumor than fact. But Scott Reynolds updated his little description on Facebook to include writer of Iron Fist.
That's so awesome.
It's good enough for us to talk about it. And he was a writer on Jessica Jones and a bunch of other stuff before that.
Yeah, so. He did The Following and Dexter and some other stuff.
So, along the lines of Iron Fist, I heard about this, but I was waiting for confirmation, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Iron Fist may have been cast.
And that's all we know. We don't know who was cast, but in an interview with the cast of Jessica Jones, Mike Coulter said that they had cast somebody and he was locked in a basement right now.
Yes.
So, again, that is all that we know at this point.
The fact that I am locked in my basement has no correlation to it whatsoever right now. Seriously, folks, no, I'm not. Okay, so Luke Cage, the series, is to address some controversial social issues, and I think we've been there already with both the Netflix series, but I think this is going to get a little bit more intense, right?
Yeah, even more so than what we've seen so far. This is based on some production photos and then, you know, some people talking about some of the things they're working on for the show. It looks like they're going to talk about police brutality. It looks like they're going to be talking about black-on-black crime, use of the N-word, systemic racism, a lot of big issues that they're going to take on with this show.
That'll be interesting to see how Marvel addresses it and if they're just bringing it out or if they have commentary on it as well. So we'll see.
I'm betting they're probably going to have commentary on it, considering that Luke Cage, the character, was kind of intended to be this kind of exploration of the issues at the time in the 1970s and about like the civil rights movement and about having black superhero in this very traditionally white environment. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what they do with the show and how they handle it. And seriously, the cast looks so great. And I want to see them tackle all this important stuff.
Marvel has never shied away from this stuff in the past, and they have been very progressive over the years, although why they don't schedule a freaking Captain Marvel movie before they have is beyond me. But I mean, they have Miles Morales, they have Black Panther, Sam Wilson, Captain America, and that sort of stuff. So there have been movements forward, and that is good.
One of the things that, so lately I've been freelance writing, and one of the things that I was able to look at this week on an order that I did was superheroes. And I was, while I was writing, I started thinking about it. And yeah, one of the things that I really like about the current crop of movies and TV and stuff that we're seeing is that more than ever, it's really being able to explore the whole comics as a metaphor thing. The medium is a metaphor for current reality. Like with right now, Jessica Jones, it's an extended metaphor for PTSD and abuse.
Yeah.
With Daredevil, it's about choices and things like that, and about these two people. And you're seeing it right now with Agent Carter too, about how these two people who are so kind of similar can also do such dramatically different things. With Supergirl, you're seeing a lot of the whole being a female hero in an environment, again, that's traditionally male. With what I saw of, I'm behind on Flash, but it's kind of about family from what I saw. And you're seeing all this stuff, and it's, yeah, it's superheroes, but it's this kind of way of looking at real life sideways.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that's one of the reasons why I've liked science fiction my whole life, because it propels you into the future as all this stuff has been actually figured out. So you're able to interact in an environment that you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go through the struggles, which there's something to be said about the struggles, but you can go on the opposite end and just say, okay, everybody's equal. We've been through this before. So that's pretty cool. And it doesn't have to be that far in the future. It could be in the sort of immediate future. So you can explore a lot of that stuff as well. But with Supergirl, what I like about it, and I'm very interested in hearing some of the Like a Girl podcasts as they come out, is they actually address, only a girl would say, well, because I'm a girl or because I'm a woman, I have to do this. So they're actually addressing that in the show. And they're getting to the point, I hope, where they just don't have to mention it anymore. But I think they're addressing it pretty well in the first season. So that's pretty good. If you haven't checked out Supergirl yet, it's a funner show. It's a lighter show, but it's still a pretty decent show. So I would advocate checking it out. Okay, let's move on into the Doctor Strange and Beyond portion of the news, where Guardians of the Galaxy 2 cast is assembling for their rehearsal photo or have.
Yep. So the picture that goes with this article, because apparently they're starting to rehearse, but the picture is hilarious. Well, the first picture, there's a couple pictures here, but the one that I really like is Zoe Saldana, Chris Pratt, Sean Gunn.
Sean Gunn, yeah.
Yeah.
That's James and, Gunn, too, right?
Yeah, James Gunn and
Drax.
Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all just kind of, they're posing.
It very cerebral sort of thinking man poses. <It's fun>.
I And then Sean Gunn's there on the floor like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
And then there's another picture. There's a dog.
Ruff, ruff.
Of course there is.
It's not Cosmo, though. And then there's Michael Rooker looking very surprised. Like, what are you pointing that camera at me for? I don't know. It's
children, Rooker. It's children.
Children. That is a child, Rooker.
Oh, that was one of the most awesome panels I have heard in a long, long time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back in our feed from sometime two years ago, right?
What's was that? It that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't that long. It was like a year ago. Been.
Okay, so like 9 months ago, there is a panel with Sean Gunn and with Rooker.
And Michael Rooker.
It was great.
It was funny.
It's amazing.
But yeah, it's no real news other than they're rehearsing, but it's a cute picture. Cute pictures.
We're about to be hit even more so, because this is what Marvel does with a bunch of Deadpool stuff in the next week or so as the movie comes out. So just be prepared for it and just have fun with it, because...
And then we're going to be hit by a swarm of Civil War stuff. So
yes. Which side are you on?
Which side has Bucky? Because I'm on that side.
The Sean Sebastian wins, Lauren, every time. I'm on the side of Rocket. Whichever side Rocket decides he's on, I don't go with.
I think Rocket is stealing everybody's stuff while they're fighting.
Okay, so either way, we're for angry little trash babies.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get on with the feedback. right. So we have, of course, a tweet from at Edward Stark SM to us, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talked about it before, but I'm actually going to read it off this time. It is so momentous that we talked about it at the front of the podcast, and we're talking about it at the end of the podcast.
We're bookending the podcast with this discussion.
So, tweet reads as follows. War has been declared between Flamingo and Squirrel Monkey. And this is a response to Bernard Stark tweeting, as of this day, we are at war. Again, Christy, very well done. Very good job. That is amazing. We asked, you delivered. Amazing. That is awesome. And Bernard Stark, whoever you are, thanks for playing. We really appreciate it. It's fun. And I got to say, I got to side with the monkey here. I'm not kind of a bird guy. I'll go with the monkey because this monkey could live a long time and then become somebody else's monkey. Fitz needs a monkey.
This is true.
Yeah, there you go. It's like R2-D2, you know, in the Star Wars universe. The monkey just goes just, throughout the whole thing.
It's passed down from one generation to the next. Yeah.
So on Facebook, we asked a question. And once again, please pay attention to our Twitter and Facebook feeds. We'll be more interactive with you in the future, we promise. So we asked, which upcoming Marvel Comics-based movie are you most excited to see? And there is a list of all of the currently listed Marvel movies. Deadpool, Civil War, Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Gambit, Doctor Strange, Wolverine, 3 Guardians of the Galaxy, 2 Spider-Man, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers, Infinity War, Parts 1 and 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, X-Men, Untitled,
you got stuck in a loop.
Inhumans, which is possibly going to be canceled, X-Force, and the New Mutants. So, we had some responses. Andy, friend of the cast, Andy said, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I want to see if they manage to delight me again so much like with the first one. And yeah, I think it's going to be my third on my list. It's my third most favorite superhero movie coming up. Absolutely. The first is a Marvel movie and the second is a DC movie, but we'll get to that in a second. Okay. So our friend Carol, who's been a friend of the cast for a while, she said, definitely Captain America Civil War, though I am also quite excited about Deadpool. It's going to be a heck of a Valentine's Day, folks. It really is.
Yes.
So, yes, thank you very much. And of course, I responded to the post as well and said, Captain Marvel! The more I read about this character, the more I just absolutely love it. Marvel, what are you doing? Put Captain Marvel earlier, please. I really enjoy it. Okay, and then we got a response also from Adana Girl, which I'm going to read. You're just too jarvelous for words. Yes. That was part of the live tweets. Once again, Lauren live tweets every, right now anyway, Monday night with Jessica Jones and Tuesday night with the series of the week. In this particular case, it is Agent Carter until Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back on.
And FYI, the latest news I've seen, it looks like there's going to be 2 weeks of overlap between Agent Carter and the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right. I promise we'll only cover two separate shows a week. So we won't do Jessica Jones and Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I promise we won't do that to you. And don't forget,
do that to ourselves.
We're going to have to cover season two of Daredevil, too. So we're covered until the summer.
Yeah, we got plans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Andy. He emailed us, as he always has, and we talked about it last week. I teased it. He came back with an episode 4 email, didn't he, Lauren?
Yes, he did. Some commentary for episode 4. Trusting the policeman. I hope this won't play out in a negative way.
Oh, no, it won't.
I love Jessica's client's plan was real. Actress... Yeah, which we pointed out, and actress, I didn't realize, she was on Breaking Bad.
I've never seen it.
It's a good show. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend it. And then, bottom line, getting better with every episode. 8 out of 10 blue-white striped scarves.
I love his rating systems.
Yes, the rating system is one of my highlights of the week.
He's inspired Neil on Starlight Tribune to do a villain rating scale every week.
Nice.
We have to keep up with him. The man's a machine. And if you want to hear more of Neil, you can go to Starling Tribune, but you can also hear him, as well as our very own Lauren, on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, which both Starling Tribune and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, which covers the weekly Marvel Comics review, can be found on GunnaGeek.com. And last week was a phenomenal week, and this week proves to be even better. Last week was Captain Marvel. This week was Daredevil. I just can't wait for what's next. Before the show, on my way home from work, I stopped by the comic book store. There are so many Marvel comics out this week. So many. Yes. Oh my gosh. I had a big stack. There was actually some alternate variant covers on the DC side that I had to put down. I'm like, I'm spending too much money. And so there were good variant covers for Green Lantern and Green Arrow, and I couldn't get them. So, oh well. All right. Are you ladies ready to walk this one out?
Yep.
Join us next week here on Blab at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, as we discuss Agent Carter Season 2, Episode 5, The Atomic Job, and Jessica Jones Season 1, Episode 5, a.k.a. The Sandwiched Save Me. We have all sorts of contact information. We have a website, legendsofshield.com. We have Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, all at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And don't forget our voicemail line. That's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. And don't forget, folks, in a couple of weeks, really, on March 18th, I will be at C2E2 in Chicago with several other Gunna Geek members, Cody from Unqualified Gamers, now called Game Life Balance, Naki from All Things Good and Nerdy, Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy, Gunna Geek, and Nerd Alert News. And we're going to be at a panel, Willie also from All Things Good and Nerdy. We're going to be at a panel. We're going to talk about hobby podcasting. We're going to talk about your everyday podcasting and being part of a network and how that can assist you. So that will be right now scheduled for 2:45 Friday afternoon, the 18th of March in Chicago at C2E2. So, ladies, thank you very much, as always, for being my co-hosts on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us, obviously, every week. Thank you for everybody who shows up on Twitter, who tweets us during the week, whether it's news or whether it's something that you just thought we'd find funny or during the live tweets. I really, really, really love interacting with y'all during the live tweets. It's great. Thank you for everything you do. It's great. I love you guys.
And this week, thank you to Andy for his emails that we're getting to read from the time capsule of our email account. That's awesome to come across every week. And thank you to Adonna Girl for getting this Twitter war started. Everyone else should join in and wage war against all of the animals in Howard's, I don't know where he's keeping them, the basement maybe. And remember, hit us up anywhere to let us know about your animal story, and you too can be entered to win the awesome Guardians of the Galaxy crate.
Absolutely. I will ship it anywhere. Oh, by the way, I did get confirmation. The t-shirt that we gave away last fall, it did finally make it to Australia.
Hey!
So she was without internet for a little while. I didn't ask why, but she was without internet. And she said, oh, thank you. It's so great. I love it. I love it. I love it. So yes, I will ship it anywhere. As I said before, I will ship it to Antarctica. I will work with NASA and send it to Mars if that's where you are.
Also, if you're living on Mars, like, hook us up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So just a little reminder, after the post show credits, we will open up the fourth seat. So if you're here, come on in and talk to us about Marvel stuff. So that's all I got for this week. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye.
Bye.
Bernard Stark, you are at war with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Unleash the spider monkeys of war.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
So, Lauren, how was your weekend?
What did I do? Oh, yeah. I went and recorded for a friend of the family, and that was fun. I got to be a hippie, and then I got my throat torn out by a squirrel, and it's going to be an amazing episode.
How many episodes you guys got in the can for second season?
So far, we've recorded three. We're doing three more in a couple weeks.
None of them have released yet, right?
Like 2 weeks. For season two, no. Still got all the editing and sound effects and music and all that to add in.
Yeah, that's the friend of the family. That's an amazing production.
We have a lot of fun doing it. And I'm getting to help co-write some episodes this season. So
nice.
Yes.
How many pages of script go into one of those episodes?
Hold on. Let me pull up one of the more recent ones and see. Okay, the next episode I'm in has 22 pages.
So how did you think about the big announcement? You can have a crossover with your own podcast now.
Cut down on the editing.
Just one podcast, put it on both feeds. Okay, before we go live, I just want to say that I will be in Chicago on the 18th of March at C2E2 in the afternoon. Right now, the panel is scheduled for 2:45. It's going to be an everyday podcasting panel with a host of Gonna Geek hosts. So,
an actual host, a group of podcast people is called a host.
That's correct. So we're going to have Cody from Game Life Balance, formerly Unqualified Gamers, and also WGN radio producer, and Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy, Nerd Alert News, Gonna Geek Podcast. He's been a co-host on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. before. And Naki from All Things Good and Nerdy, and me. So we're going to have fun. We're going to have something to give away, too. So we will remind everybody at the end.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay. I'm getting hyped up. Okay.
Okay.
Stay
okay.
awake. Stay
okay.
awake.
Stay okay. awake. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
I'm wearing
okay.
my geeky okay. jersey.
I'm wearing hey. My Marvel Villains t-shirt.
Puff Pride.
And Haley, I have a surprise for you. I got a notification today, which means in about 3 weeks, it'll make its way to your
Oh, good. So like right when I'm getting back from Galley One. Perfect.
When Sean got his, I got one that was shipped the same day as he did. And I got mine in like 3 days. His took like a week and a half.
Well, I kind of suspected it would be coming soon because Ray ordered one too, and she said she'd gotten the shipment notification.
Yeah, it just came today. Just yep. today.
You want to see something that grosses Scott out? I could just like press my eyeball like that.
Oh, like a fish.
Yeah.
Cool. Lab rat Lauren is like a fish yeah. too. Got some just, reptile mutation.
Well, according to Scott, yes, because I'm always cold, so clearly I'm a lizard person. So.
All right. All right, I'm going to go live on Spreaker. We're going to light this candle.
Okay.
We had an episode last night of Agent Carter, and it was 99, or not 99 friends, it's Jessica Jones. We'll talk about that later. It was Smoke and Mirrors. Oh, and I also forgot to mention before, my three favorite movies coming up, Captain Marvel's number one, Guardians of the Galaxy would be number three. You know what number two is? Can you guess, Lauren? Haley? It's not Marvel.
The next Star Wars movie?
That's not a comic book movie, although okay. it probably oh. should be.
I didn't think that mattered if it was Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars Rogue One is going to be really fun, but no, Wonder Woman. I'm really looking forward to Wonder Woman, especially after the trailers for Batman versus Superman, because I'm not really excited for Batman versus Superman at all. No. I'm not excited for Suicide Squad at all. I know some people are. I'm not. But Wonder Woman, the way she shows up, I'm like, oh, I am all in.
She's definitely the best part of that trailer.
And I wasn't really a fan of Gal Gadot being cast as Wonder Woman, but it just the way they're playing it, I can't wait to see it.
Breaking news, my Deadpool box has shipped.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
Oh, no, has not shipped. Will ship.
Oh, that reminds me, I need to see where Ava 3.3 is.
I need to check with my anonymous donor for the podcast and see if that has shipped. I have not gotten my, I get two notifications, like the anonymous donor sends me an email and says it's coming, and I get a personal one too, so that comes directly from Marvel Collector Core, Pop Funko, whoever's doing it, and I have not received my notification, but I'm looking forward to it. That will be fun.
Yeah, the next box is Deadpool.
Right. Nice. Do we know what the next box is after that?
I think it's, I would imagine Civil War, if I had to guess. That's what I would think.
Oh, geeky jerseys. This is my Captain America geeky jersey. They're selling, this is 2.0. They're selling 3.0. And I think you can get C on the front, but they don't show it. they just released the Shellhead number 3.0. And that is sale now. And I have been waiting for that. I'm not kidding. It was the very first one I wanted. I've been waiting for it for like 4 or 5 years. And I missed it. And they haven't brought it back until now. So I am so getting a Shellhead jersey. Dang it, geeky jerseys. You did it to me again. I have spent so much money with those guys. It's incredible. As witnessed
he's personally putting their kids through college.
As witnessed by the entire cast of Gallifrey Public Radio. And everybody that they know.
Yeah, we will be out in force at Galley 1. I think we have enough people now to field our own hockey team.
Nice.
People are on a hockey team?
I was listening to you guys in the last couple of casts. I didn't realize, do you have panels already set up at Galley 1?
Yes. I don't remember what Kier's is, but mine is going to be about not Doctor Who at all. It's going to be about Marvel, DC Comics in the 80s and Marvel Comics in the 70s.
Well, it's a good thing you've halfway read through the 70s.
If by halfway you mean most of 1970.
Oh, I thought you were up to like 75.
No.
You need to get on that, girl.
I just got my iPad fixed, so I can...
Oh, I didn't know your iPad was screwed.
Yeah. It wasn't broken, just the app that I read comics with was not working correctly.
I love the fact that when I buy a Marvel hard copy, I can scan in that code and get the free digital copy. DC.
Right? That was a brilliant move. I am impatiently awaiting the arrival of a legitimate Rogue Funko.
Yes. I could have sworn there was one, but then...
No, we have this discussion every time.
I know.
There's custom Funkos that are Rogue.
If you want to get a custom Funko made, a custom Rogue Funko made, contact Neil. His wife is amazing with them. Absolutely amazing. She is a genius with that stuff.
Oh, I just got caught up with The Expanse. Pretty good.
Expanse has renewed my faith in Sci-Fi
Isn't
Channel.
It great?
I have no time. Absolutely no time whatsoever. I want to start a podcast on The Expanse.
If I could get Scott to do it, I would. But he's still convinced nobody wants to hear him talk. But no, he's read like all the books.
That doesn't stop the rest of us.
So. I know, right?
You tell Scott that Stargate Pioneer said he will personally sponsor him on a Gonna Geek podcast on The Expanse, because...
Okay, one sec.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I like Blab, is because it's so cross-communities, it's cross-platform, it's cross-everything, that you can find other people doing amazing stuff that are interested in the same thing that you are. It's been fun so far. I'm thinking about doing a Blab-only show, a Stargate rewatch, basically. Well, it wouldn't be a rewatch. It would be a Stargate. And I've had it on in the background because it's on Amazon Prime right now.
Mm-hmm.